Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
John chapter 11, verse 43 and 44. If you'll turn there, I'll read this scripture to you today. Very familiar passage. Most people know the story of Lazarus. Just a couple of words. The Lord Jesus had just finished praying. It says, and when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. I tell you, even death can't disobey the word of God. He said, come forth, and he that was dead, he didn't bring forth a dead man. Lazarus was alive. He that was dead came forth bound, hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them that stood around, loose him and let him go. For a few minutes today, I don't feel like I'll be very long. Just want to encourage someone. I feel like this word is sharp and powerful. And it can do... It ain't dull, so it ain't going to take a lot of cutting. It's going to get right to the point, amen? I want to preach to you for a little while on this thought, the comeback. The comeback, praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for what you're doing in this service. Thank you, Lord, for those that you're refreshing and renewing. Thank you, Lord, for the souls that have walked into this house today. I pray your blessing and your glory will just abide upon them. Now for a little while, Lord, help us to hear what the Spirit would say. Anoint these lips of clay for just a few moments today that I might say a word to encourage or help someone. And we will be careful to give you all the praise and all of the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Clap your hands real good to the Lord before you're seated. Lift up a high praise to Him. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Yeah, you can make some racket in this house if you want to. Yeah. You can make some racket in this house if you want to. It said Jesus cried with a loud voice. So I just follow his lead. Sometimes it's all right to just lift up a loud voice. Lift your voice like a trumpet. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Being in the house of the Lord today. God is so good to us. If you were here at the 10 o'clock service, you remember Brother Nathaniel's opening scripture, and it was this same exact scripture that after I had turned my scriptures in for the media team and I was still studying a little bit and sit back, I said, I want something, Lord, to open with, something to that will just fit with this, something that will kind of help ground us into the message. And it was exactly what Brother Nathaniel read, Lamentations 3 and 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Friend, let me tell you, God's got his hand on your life. And it is his mercy. Nothing is greater than his mercy. It's new every morning. It's always fresh. It's always strong. It's always real. It doesn't grow old. It's always there. Every day is another opportunity to come back. Hello? Every day, he said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. What you're going through, what you're facing, would love to wipe you out. But it is of the Lord's mercies. God has given something to his people. This prophet here, he knew what it was like to be in distress. He knew what it was like to be under hard times. He knew what it was like to feel like I'm trying my best to serve you, God, but your people are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And he talks about bitterness and gall and wormwood and hard times and trials and correction. But then he remembers, I'm still here. You ever just took inventory sometimes and realized, hey, things may not be like I want it, but I'm still here. Like I said earlier, you got to learn to appreciate where you are. And remember that the trial and the test doesn't take God from you. Hello? Sometimes we may not feel it, but it's still there. Greater is he that's in me. In the world, they have to have feeling all the time. But I don't have to have feeling all the time. I have faith. I know that God is in me. When he filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I began to speak with other tongues, when that river of living water began to flow, I knew he's here and he ain't moving out. He's still going. It's still flowing. And no matter whether I'm in the valley or the mountaintop, whether I'm sick or well, rich or poor, God's still with me because God is faithful. And so what I'm trying to tell you today is wherever you might find yourself, Brother Nathaniel was talking to us about being children of God and being in the midst of storms. And sometimes children drift and wander. And they may be present in body, but they're not present in mind or spirit. They feel like they're suffering. They feel like they're not doing what they ought to be doing. They know that they haven't prayed like they should. They know that they hadn't been faithful in their reading and study like they should. They know that they've had struggles in their mind and in their heart, and they love God, but they just can't seem to find out how to serve God. And they're trying to figure out how to get back. It's through his mercies that you'll get back. Let me tell you, God is able to give you a comeback. Hello? I heard a preacher say one time, your comeback is greater than your setback. Whatever you ever feel like it's knocked you off the path, whatever you feel like has knocked you back a few steps, God's mercy, God's grace, God's strength, that spirit that's inside of you is greater than any obstacle that you're going to face. And God is just setting you up for a comeback, because he wants you to come back. He ain't trying to run you off. He ain't trying to drive you away. But his mercy is here so you can come back. We love a good comeback story. Got anybody, any sports fans in the house? We're in church. Can we say we like sports? Yeah, we like sports. We like sports. I love baseball. Played a lot of ball growing up. One of the greatest comebacks ever in baseball history. I love it. Because I am an Atlanta Braves fan. But when it comes to the American League, I love the Boston Red Sox. Love them. And really, I like them a little bit better than I like the Braves. But just be honest. I'm in the pulpit. I better be honest. But back in 2004, Boston and the Yankees were in the ALCS. And Boston was down. They had lost three straight games. Now, it was the best of seven, so that means one more game, and they're out. One more game, and it's over. And I think about this a lot of times like Lazarus, because for 3 days, they were beat. And on the fourth day they played, they wasn't doing good. It was down. But in game number four, in the ninth inning, Boston was losing 1-0. It looks like the stone is rolled over the grave and the Red Sox are stinking. But with a stolen base and a single to tie it, it went into extra innings. And then good old David Ortiz come on in and in extra innings hit a home run. And Boston was on their way to a comeback. They're still down 3-1. But then they win the next game. And then they win the next game. Now it's tied. And at 12:01 on October the 21st, 2004, Yankees hitter Ruben Sierra hits a ground ball to second baseman Pokey Reese, who fields it clean, fires it to first. Game over, game out. Yankees lose 10-3. And the Boston Red Sox have completed the greatest comeback ever. No team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit, won four straight games in the ALCS. The comeback. Let me tell you, God has set you up for a comeback. He knew that Lazarus was sick, but he didn't go. He knew that he was going to die, but he didn't go. Because he knew that I can heal. They know I can heal people. They got to see I can bring them back. You've been blessed. You've been healed. You've enjoyed the glory of God all over you and in your house and in your life and in your family. But you need to know something today. That no matter how close you are to God, and no matter how much you love Him and He loves you, sometimes things get bad, sometimes things get worse, and sometimes you feel dead. But I want you to know today that God is able, and He wants you to know that He's able to give you a comeback. You could come back. You say, well, I've never felt like I've drifted this far. That's okay. Go ahead and make history. Go ahead and make history. Go ahead and say, you know what? I'm going to come back. I'm going to get back to where I want to be. I'm going to get back into the presence of the Lord. You know where the next chapter in the book of Luke, it says that now Lazarus is sitting at the table with Jesus eating. From the tomb to the table. God's about ready to take some of y'all from the tomb to the table. Yeah? He was dead. Honey, he was dead. And nobody believed otherwise. When he gets to the tomb, when he gets to the gravesite, both of his sisters had the same, I guess they've been talking, because they both got there and they said, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. He's dead. Show me where you put him. I guess he wants to go mourn with everybody else. No, he don't want to go mourn. Jesus ain't here today to mourn you. He's here to resurrect you. You hear me? He's not here to mourn your passing. He said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. And I am the Lord that you serve. You need to hear what this pastor is saying to you today. I don't care how long the stone's been rolled over your grave. I don't care how bad you think you stunk it up. He's able today to call you out. With a loud voice, the Spirit of the Lord is calling today. Come forth, come forth, come back. Get back. The Lord's calling today. Can you hear what the Spirit is saying to the church? It's time to understand that he is love and He is generous and He is kind and He is merciful. But He is powerful and He's got a word for His people. He didn't save us just so we could be beat up and lost. But He saved us so we could make it all the way home. I've said it before and I'll say it again. As bad as you want to hear Him say, well done, it don't even compare to how much He wants to say it. He intends on you getting here, getting to glory one day. He intends on you crossing through. He intends on your name staying in that Lamb's Book of Life. He wants that to happen because the Scripture says, I know the plans and the thoughts that I think toward you. Not of evil, but I want to give you an expected end. I want to get you to glory one day. I'm going away to prepare a place so where I am, you can be also. But guess what? We would love to just stay right behind Him. Oh, I'm just right with you, Lord. I ain't going nowhere. Every time you look over your shoulder, here I am. But guess what? Sometimes it works like this. He looks over his shoulder and he wonders where we are. That's just how it works. Because we're people. Because we're people. You say, but I ain't missed a church service in 50 years. But where's your heart? Where's your mind? Where's your faithfulness to Him? It ain't so much about sitting in the seat as it is, are we still with Him? I don't want to just get into a bad routine where I come and sit and never feel nothing, never do nothing, never move again. Honey, I want the fire. I want the shaking. I want the power of the resurrection. Honey, I want the Spirit of God. I want that fire shut up in my bones. Come on, I want that spirit that moves me. I want that kind of faith that I can step out of the boat and walk on water. Yeah? I want the kind of faith that even if I die, that when I hear His voice, I still got to respond. That's what He does. You ready to give up? You ready to quit? But Lazarus had such a relationship with Jesus that even in a dark, dead tomb, when he heard the voice of the Savior, Lazarus, come forth, it shook him out of death. It put him back together, and it got him out of the grave. And that's what God is doing for us in this house today. I don't care how dead you are. I don't care what nobody else thinks about your situation. If you can hear what the Spirit is saying today, He's saying, come forth, come back, get out of that tomb. Get out of that grave. Come back. Come back to life. Come back to life. Come back to life. I washed you from your sins. I filled you with the Holy Ghost. And just because you got silly and made a mistake, you think I want to throw you away. But I'm still calling, come back, come back. Come back. Woo! The comeback. And as much as I love the Red Sox, woo! I wouldn't watch another game compared. It don't nothing compare to where God brought me from. Oh, there ain't nothing compares to what the Word of God and the voice of God did when it spoke into my life. And it's able to do it today. I said it, he was dead. A lot of them thought, well, this is it. It's over. There's a lot of situations we find ourselves in. We feel like we're just lost. We're just going to lose. I'm going to go to church to save face, but I don't feel nothing. Happens. Happens every week. I don't want people to think I'm bad. And I do enjoy the people and the same, but you got to come to church for more than people. And for your department and or for your appointment or for your license, you got to come for more than just people. You got to come for Him, to worship Him, to love Him, to bless His name. To be in the presence of that holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Oh, just to be in His presence. That's heaven to me. I love that song. His presence is like heaven to me. I just want to be in His presence, and that's why I come. But there are many of you sitting in here, and you sit here sometimes for weeks, months, years. Because people expect you. Be there, and I don't want nobody. I just don't want to put up with the questions and things. So I'll come in, and I'm going to smile, and I'm going to do it. But you're tormented in your mind. Your heart is in turmoil. You're struggling with things. And you think, if I let that out to get better, everybody's going to know everything. But God already knows everything. And He's the one that matters. And He's the one that can bring you back to life. And He's the one that can get you back to where you want to be. So quit worrying. And let me let you in on a secret. Your brothers and sisters, they ain't going to talk about you. Not if they're real brothers and sisters. They're not going to shun you because you fell down and repented and snotted and cried and said, God, have mercy on me or forgive me. They're going to get down there right beside you. And they're going to pray with you and say, come on, come on, come on back. Come back to life. Come back. If you've been down, let me help you up. Two are better than one. But when one falls, he's got somebody there to lift him up. And we got people in this house that will pray with you and talk with you and preach to you and just love you. Because they want to see you make that comeback. You know what you need to do right now? With a loud voice, you need to say, I'm headed for a comeback. I heard you, but I think we do a little louder. Look at here. The smallest person in here. I love you, Mama. Listen, we used to do this in sports. We'd go on three. We'd go one, two, three, and then whatever we're going to say. So I'm going to count to three, and on three, we're going to say, I'm headed for a comeback. One, two, three. I'm headed for a comeback. There you go. Come on. Yeah, then we would holler, and we'd be, woo, yeah, all right. We'd get fired up. We'd get ready. We'd get our stuff together, whatever we was playing. We'd be getting our gloves and our bats, and we'd be getting ready, and we're just looking at the other team like, come on, we're about to get with it. Let me tell you something. You know why Boston came back? They lost three games. They didn't lose it because they forgot how to play baseball. They were still championship material. The fact is that sometimes you lose. Sometimes you misstep. But you want to know why they came back? Because they didn't forget how to play the game. They didn't forget how to catch, throw, hit, run, steal. And when all of a sudden, and you can believe it or not, but sometimes those coaches, through whatever means they use, they inspire a team back. It shakes them. And they remember, we know what we're doing. We know what got us here. And they go back to doing what they know how to do. The problem with saints is they stop doing what they know how to do. And that's why they stay in the tomb. You know, when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus didn't forget how to walk. So the Lord didn't tell him to do anything he didn't know how to do. But what we do is we shut down. And we play dead. But let me ask you, have you lost your voice? Well, then you can still pray. You can still praise. You can still shout. Hey, you still got your hands? You can still clap. If you're able and you got your legs and your feet, you can still stomp. You can still stand up. Come on, somebody. You still got a voice. You can still sing. You can still preach. You can still testify. And that's what'll get you your comeback. Just because you're down 3-0, it don't mean you stop doing what you know how to do. If you want to come back, if you want a miracle, then start doing what you know how to do. Lift your hands and lift your voice. Stir up the gift that's inside of you. Let it out. Woo! Somebody needs to let that gift out this morning. It's still there. It's still in you. Sometimes we... Let me tell you something. I've been in games where it was down to the last inning, and we was losing. And I had to, and you know what I? It was. I remember on our ball team, Doc. That year when we went to state, we did good at state though, but we was good in our league. But I remember we were losing. And the team, we were playing this team. They were supposed to be the best team. We were really the best team, but we were playing them. But I remember we were down by three. And there were two men on base, and there was two outs. And I was really hoping that Sean, because he was in front of me, was going to get a hit, and he didn't. Because now I'm like, dog, it's two outs. And why are you thinking about the outs? Just act like they know outs and get up there and hit the ball. Do what you know how to do. You know what I did? I hit a home run and tied the game. Oh, it was like, I mean, I felt like a kid. I was like, that was as good as a World Series to me. I was like, and we won that game because we didn't forget. We knew what to do. We made the plays. We made the stops. We made the outs in the next inning, and we won the game. But I know what it's like when it's stacked on you like that and you think, might as well just let it be over with. But as long, Doc, you ever seen any two-out rallies? I've seen two-out rallies where the whole team bats through. That's a lot. 11 guys with two outs bat through. Because you know why? They didn't forget how to hit. I don't care if it's two outs. I still know how to hit the ball. And the more you hit, the more the other team gets shook. They start making errors. You just keep going. You ain't forgot how to serve God. You ain't forgot how to praise and pray. But when you get down three games to nothing, I can guarantee you that night in that stadium, there was two types of people there. The Yankees that were coming to gloat because they knew they was fixing to close it. And there was those that were there to mourn their team for losing. And I'm sure the players probably thought, yeah, it's never been done, but we about to do it. Hey, you're down three games. It ain't never been done. We about to do it. It's fixing to happen. But you can let your shame or your guilt or your embarrassment or your ego or your pride stop you from praising and praying. I know if I lift my hands, people are going to be like, what are they doing lifting their hands? Guess what? Everybody else is already lifting their hands. They ain't paying you attention. The only one accusing you is that liar, that accuser of the brethren. That's your own flesh and your conscience speaking into your mind, trying to tell you, no, because the spirit and the flesh are at war against each other, and your flesh, whether you just sit down and do nothing and quit. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And so many times, people that could be walking out of their graves are staying bound and laying down by their choice. But if we would remember, we know how to praise. I know how to shout. I know how to worship God. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I still got that gift. And guess what? If you just start praying, you'd start speaking again. It'll happen. It'll happen. Hey, brother, I don't know Brother Frankie, but he said he wanted to be refilled the Holy Ghost. He come down here and started praying. And he started speaking in tongues again. I don't know how long it's been since he spoke in tongues. But he was wanting a refreshing and a renewing, and he got it. Well, that's for all of us. Well, it's been a long time, Pastor. Well, guess what? It's time for a long time to be over with. It's time to get renewed, refreshed, refilled, revived. It's time to hear the Spirit saying, come forth. It's time for your comeback. It's time for you to have the greatest comeback in history. And if you just give it to Jesus, you'd get it. You'd get that comeback. You sit down for a second. Jesus said, and this is it ain't even fair, really. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he lives inside of me. If you're just laying there, you're working against the resurrection, because the resurrection is trying to pull you up. Give Jesus the ball. Because he's got the answer. Give it to him. That's why he said, without me, you can do nothing. Cast all your care on me. Maybe your baseball ain't your thing. What about basketball? I'm sure there's a lot of people who would have their favorites. But there's nobody in their right mind that can deny that Michael Jordan is probably the best to ever play the game. I know there's guys out there that they're incredible. And I know there were some before him that did some great things. But, man, this dude was, crazy what he could do. But in his career, he made 25 game-winning shots. I'm not talking about just the points that they scored again. They were down by two or one, and he made the shot that won the game. They would say, get the ball to Michael. Get the ball to him. Because they knew he knew what he was doing. 24 of those 25 were made in the last 10 seconds of the game. The clock ticking. The pressure was on. He just stick that tongue out. Boom. 8 of those 25 were right at the buzzer. With nothing but zero on the clock. The other team sure of victory. Whew. Bulls win. Let me tell you, give Jesus the ball. Give it to him. Give it to him. He'll bring you out every time. He'll help you every time. He'll strengthen you every time. That's what he does. The only quit is in us. There ain't no quit in God. You hear me? There ain't no quit in God. The only quit's in his people. But when we quit, we lose. When we quit, nothing happens. But if we will remember that God called me out of darkness into his marvelous light, or maybe God healed my body of a disease. God opened my mind, delivered my mind, broke chains of addiction, brought me out of an ungodly lifestyle. God has worked miracle after miracle after miracle in my life. And I may be at a low spot, but I have not forgotten how to serve God. So quit taking yourself out of the equation. I've just been too bad. I know God's just mad at me and God hates me and it don't matter. I'm going to always mess up. I don't care how many times you mess up. God don't care how many times you mess up. If your heart has got a repentant spirit and you know it's just my flesh. Paul said, man, there's good stuff I want to do and I can't figure out how to do it. There's bad things that I don't want to do and I end up doing it. But that's not me. But it's that sin that lives in me. That sinful nature, that flesh. Sometimes it gets the better of us. Just admit it. It does. It happens. But I have never made a mistake. I've made mistakes that make me ashamed. I've made mistakes that I was embarrassed before the Lord because of it. But I have never made a mistake that it made me want to quit God. Walk away from this? Ain't no way. I ain't walking away from this. And so I would just remember, lift your hands. Lift your hands and praise God. Pray anyway. The Bible says that the bless the Lord and his praise will always be in my, it shall continually be in my mouth. That means sometimes when I'm in the mess, I still need to be praising God. That's continually. You don't take a break from praising just because you're making mistakes. You need to always be praising God. When Paul and Silas was preaching the word and doing the work of God, they got locked up, not just locked up, but beat with many stripes, cast into the innermost part of the prison. And they was bleeding and sore, maybe a little confused. Maybe wondering, what am I doing here? But at about midnight, they remembered, hey, we ain't forgot how to praise God. We ain't forgot how to sing praises unto the Lord. And they started singing praises and worshiping God and said all the prisoners could hear them. And then an earthquake hit, dropped off the chains, slung the doors wide open, and they got out. They was coming, headed for a comeback. We fixed to keep on preaching. And they went and preached to that jailer and his family, baptized all of them. Man, let me tell you, God was doing a work through them. And I thought, well, this is the end of you. You're locked up. You see where serving God got you. And I'll tell you where it's going to get me. It's going to get me out of here. You ain't forgot how to pray or praise. You've been doing it long enough. But when you stop, you're going to know. You know when you pray, he's inhabiting the praises of his people. When you stop, what happens? Ooh, we don't stop praising God. We got to keep on serving the Lord. I'm going to try to get out of here and get this thing going on. We know that there is Isaiah. I'm going to cut some of this off. Isaiah 54 and 11. He said, "Oh, thou," or "Oh, you, you're tossed with tempest and not comforted." Man, there's a war going on in your mind. He said, "Behold," he said, "you, the one that's in the middle of the mess, I will lay your stones with fair colors. I will lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and all your border pleasant stones." You see what God does with people that's in the middle of a mess? He just going to bless you. Verse 17 says, "No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper." It ain't going to prosper. I'm headed for a comeback. No weapon you got, no weapon my enemy's got, no weapon my flesh has got, no weapon this world has got shall prosper. It's not the weapon would love to kill you and stop you so you can't serve God no more. But it ain't going to prosper. Listen, I may not know what's going on. I may not know what God is doing. And I may not know how he's going to work it out. But I know what to do. Hello? I may not know all the facts. I may not know where this is going to lead. But I know what to do. I know how to praise God. I know how to read my Bible. I know how to sing praises unto him. I know how to shout. I know how to testify. And friend, I know it as good as I can do. I know how to preach. And I'm not going to stop doing what I know how to do. I might be worried. I might have anxiety. I might be stressed. I might even be depressed. But I'm not going to shut my mouth and not declare the word of the Lord. Because his word is truth, and the truth will set you free. I want to keep on praising him. I'm going to keep worshiping. You hear what I'm saying? Keep worshiping. Oh, but Pastor, don't tell me nothing. Just keep worshiping. We'll talk about it later. Don't come up here with an excuse why you can't praise God. Don't give me an excuse why you can't serve no more. Keep serving. Keep praying. Keep praising. God will work it out. Repent of your sins. David didn't take a single day off from being king. Nobody removed him from being king, even though they knew what he had done with Bathsheba. God didn't even kill him because David repented. And he said, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take your spirit from me, God. Don't do that." And God's not going to take you out of your calling. He's not going to take the gifts and calling or without repentance. There needs to be a time of repentance if we mess up, and we need to work on the issue. And it may be harder for people to listen to you if they know what you did. But they'll just have to get over that. Oh, I ain't going to listen to the Apostle Paul preach because he took my grandparents to prison. I wonder what Stephen's family thought when they sat down. Who's the preacher tonight? Paul. He stood by and watched them stone my son to death. Yeah, and he hated it. He hated that he did that. But he said it was through ignorance. And sometimes we need to forgive ignorance like God forgives ignorance. We need to have the same kind of mercy that God has on people. Yeah. Sometimes people just do things out of ignorance. And God will forgive them. So should we. I'm not making loopholes and excuses. Oh, go out there and just act like a fool. And I'm going to love you, but I'll tell you if you're acting like a fool. but keep worshiping. Don't tell me, I can't worship no more because I smoked a cigarette last night. Well, I wish you wouldn't smoke, but what's that got to do with you worshiping God? Pastor, I fell off the wagon last night. I took a drink. Okay, don't do that again. Repent of it. But don't stop praising God. How will they get better if they stop going to the physician? How are they going to get better if we cut them off from worship or praise? How are they going to get better? Because, honey, my love and your love ain't enough to fix them. Only His love is. And we've got to show the love of God. Be kind, tenderhearted toward one another, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you. The Holy Ghost is talking. Hallelujah. God, let us hear what the Spirit is saying. Oh, let us hear what the Spirit is saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. A few more scriptures. Psalm 118, verse 10. The psalmist said, all nations can pass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. I might be surrounded by things that want to destroy me, but the name of the Lord is bigger than all of that. The name of the Lord is bigger than anything you're fighting. You hear me? The name of the Lord is a strong tower that the righteous can run into and they are safe. He said in one place, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. I'm headed for a comeback. They can pass me about, yea. They can pass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They can pass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. You have thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. And then finally, I shall not die but live. I shall not die, but live. Somebody that feels like they about ready before you got here today. Ooh, Pastor, I'm this close. I'm this close to giving up. I want you to just say it out loud right now. Say it. I shall not die, but live. I shall not die, but live. The Lord is my help. The Lord is my strength. I will not be afraid. I'm headed for a comeback. I thought about giving up. I thought about walking away. I thought about throwing in the towel. Well, I'm telling you, God knew that you was thinking about it. That's why He gave me this message to preach to you today. You don't quit. You don't surrender. You don't give up. You come back to Him. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. I tell you a work that Lazarus had or what he was declaring. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. What a testimony. The same one we got. We were dead in trespasses and sin, but now we're alive unto God. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. And if you feel like breath is about to leave your spiritual body, it's time to resurrect. It's time to get it back. It's time to declare. Say, I'm not going to die. I'm going to live, and I'm going to tell people. I was about to die, but now I'm alive. Or I was dead, and Jesus just brought me back. I walked away, but the Father embraced me when I came home. Let me tell you, He wants you to live. He wants to see that comeback. He wants it to happen for you. Woo! Micah 7 and 8. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall... That's what it says, but a lot of people's bumper sticker says, when I fall, I'm just going to stay here. Oh, that fall was awful. That hurt. Falling as a kid, that's tough, but you ain't got that far to fall. Falling in your 50s, yeah, that'll wake you up or put you to sleep. I told you I played ball, played a lot of ball. And we would go to camps, and in my older age, I would still play ball at camp. And I couldn't hardly move when we'd be done. And my wife would say, "Well, stop sliding and stop diving." I said, "I don't know how to play like that. I don't know how to." But I remember diving for a ball one day. Guy hit a shot down third, and I spun and dove. And when I hit the ground, I heard somebody go, "Oh!" And I realized it was me. You ever hit the ground so hard you could taste blood? I was like, "Oh, oh." And I was like, "That didn't used to hurt like that. Maybe I won't dive anymore." The fall stops us from doing a lot of things. It hurt when we fail. Especially since I missed the ball too. Insult to injury. And so we don't want to try again, because I don't want people to think I'm just falling all the time. But when Nathaniel was preaching this morning about Peter walking on water and then sinking, I remembered it just brought to mind a message I preached one time. Just get back to the boat. You can let your pride drown you, or you can grab the hand of the Lord and get back to the boat and live to preach another day. Let me tell you, I'm going to get back to the boat because I love it. I love this life. I love what I'm doing. And I know, I understand, I get it. I know we're human, we're flesh, and I know all the emotions that come with that. But I'm telling you today, you got to get past that if you're ever going to have that comeback. And God wants you to have that comeback today. We have mishaps, we make mistakes, we fall, but falling is not the end for us. We get up and we keep going, because we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Honey, if you'll come to the music this morning. In the book of Luke, chapter 22, the Lord is speaking with Peter. Peter's a good one for this message, really, because he had come back after come back after come back. Because while he was walking with the Lord, he got the keys, and then he got rebuked. Not just, but, "Hey, get behind me, Satan." That kind of rebuke in front of all of his brothers. Not good times for Peter. It was Peter that just so adamantly proclaimed, "Everybody else can forsake you, Lord, but I will not. I will die with you. Will you, Peter?" It was Peter that pulled that sword out and cut a man's ear off in the garden. It was Peter that, even though he was following to see what they would do with the Lord when they took him prisoner, it was Peter who cursed and denied when someone asked about his association with Jesus of Nazareth. But there was a place in the scripture before this happens, where the Lord is addressing Peter. In Luke 22, verse 31, the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." He wants to tear your life up. "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." I have prayed for you. There's going to be an attack. There's going to be some problem. There's going to be some sifting. It's going to happen. But I have a word that works against the sifting. I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not. And Jesus wasn't praying that his faith might not fail. He was praying that it would not fail. I pray that your faith won't fail. There's going to be a sifting. It's going to tear you up. But somewhere I want you to remember who you are, the revelation you had, and the keys that I gave to you. Somewhere I want you to remember all the things you've learned walking with me for 3 years, 3.5 years. I want you to remember all the lessons, all the hard times, all the good times. I want you to remember every bit of it, and I want you to have faith. Because, here's how I knew that if we knew the story, just reading it right away, we know Peter's headed for the comeback, because he says, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Do you know that word in the Greek, converted, comes from a word that means come again or come back? So, I prayed for you, Peter. And when you come back, strengthen your brethren. Tell them when they say, didn't you deny him? Yeah, I did. But God had mercy and forgave me, and he'll do that for you too. Strengthen them. The conversion is going to come after the sifting, the comeback. Maybe some of you feel like you've been sifted like wheat. That all the stuff that was in there, you know what sifting does? It removes stuff. And maybe you feel like things have just been removed out of your life. Because this world has done its best to shake you and sift you. Trying to get all the good out of you. Trying to get all the God out of you. But the old song said the world didn't give it. And the world can't take it away. World can't take what God gave me. Can't do it. I could surrender it or pawn it off, but he can't take what God gave me. And so, stand with me. I'm telling you today, hear what the Spirit is saying. God's got an answer for your sifting. He's telling you right now, when you are converted. So you think, Peter converted? He's already following Jesus. How could he be converted? The word converted means when you are come back, when you come back to that place of faith, when you come back to realizing I've got you, strengthen the brethren. It wouldn't be very long after that you would read in the book of Acts, where it says, and Peter said unto them, who was talking? Who was preaching? Peter was. It was Peter that stood up and said, we need to fill this slot where Judas used to be. When they began to mock and say, what's going on with all these people speaking in tongues? It was Peter that stood up and said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. And it was when the Jews said, men and brethren, what shall we do? It was Peter that said unto them, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Just a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated the greatest comeback ever. Jesus said in John 2:19, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. What a shock it must have been for people to see the Savior. Not with a crown of thorns, not with blood running down his body, not with his skin tore off, but to see that glorious resurrected Savior. Not even hardly able to recognize him. Some two didn't even recognize him until he departed from them. They realized that was the Lord. That comeback was so great, even those that walked with him couldn't recognize him. Your comeback will be so great that people won't even recognize. They won't remember Nobody said, well, Jesus, where's your crown of thorns? Where are all those stripes? Where's all that stuff at? They ain't talking about that. They're looking at how good he is. They're listening to his words, peace unto you, and listen to his instruction. And so quit just thinking everybody's going to focus on what you did and come on back. Jesus had the greatest comeback ever. It secured our faith. It ensures our salvation. And it lets me know that no matter what destruction comes my way, I can come back victorious. Victorious. And if you want that comeback, if you want that comeback power, the scripture says it's the same spirit that raised Jesus up dwell in you. If you want that kind of comeback power, you can receive it today. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues, you can receive it today. You can receive it today. I can't give it to you. If I could, I'd be handing it out like candy. I would be. But I can't give it to you. But I can tell you this, that it's a promise. And then if you want it, you can receive that gift of the Holy Ghost today and you can start your comeback. Hello? If you want that today, let's put Acts 2:38 up on the board for me, if you can pull that up real quick. This is what Peter said. I'm going to say it one more time. This is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. When he preached his message, Peter said unto them, repent. That's the death. That's when you say, I'm going to die out to this world. I'm going to die out to an ungodly life. I don't want this anymore. I'm sorry, Lord, for what I've been doing. Then be baptized. Burial. We are buried with him in baptism. That's where the blood of Jesus is applied and your sins are washed away. It says, and so you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the newness of life. That's the comeback. That's the resurrection. That's that spirit living inside of you. You can have it today. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for your sins and rose from the dead, if you believe that today with your heart, you can be baptized in his name. Your sins from everything that happened up to this point will be washed away. It'll be gone. And you'll be on your way to a comeback. And God will fill you with the Holy Ghost.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.